Today, higher for longer rates hit home. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, the Reserve Bank of Australia on Tuesday lifted rates after a pause, and the Bank of Canada did the same. And in both cases, the expectation is there could be more hikes ahead. This, of course, has significant relevance for the US because the Fed pause was really being expected. And of course, they meet next week. But maybe now the Fed is also more likely to go higher and for longer. Now, it's worth noting that the Australian and Canadian economies do have a lot in common. Both are much smaller than the US, but their combined experiences actually gives us a very important signal. In Australia, the RBA skipped on a hike in February and March, while leaving the option of hikes wide open, and it's now hiked at three successive meetings. And here's a chart to show you how that has evolved. Since March, the overnight index swaps market signaled that people thought the RBA was done and neither of the last two hikes were priced in. And you can compare the ASX 30 1 month from a few weeks ago with the one today. In Australia now, in a year's time, rates will still be above 4% according to the market, which is, of course, a considerable change from where we were very recently. They were completely misreading what the RBA was signalling, although, of course, we were actually highlighting it in these discussions. Now, in Canada, the central bank messaging was a bit different. The Bank of Canada made it clear that they thought the hike in January would be the last. And in fact, expectations for the June meeting at one point was that the bank would be cutting rates by now, largely because of the regional banking failures in the US. And it hasn't worked out that way, of course, as you can see from this chart. The main problem with both of those central banks is inflation. It's falling, but nowhere near fast enough. As Capital Economics put it, inflation has proved sticky in both economies and investors have revised up expectations for rate hikes. In other words, pauses don't necessarily mean substantially lower long-term yields unless inflation is under control, which at least with the benefit of hindsight wasn't the case in Australia and Canada. Now that's not a very palatable message for the US, where inflation is higher than Canada, although a little lower than Australia. Looking at the core inflation, excluding food and energy to avoid extreme base effects, the decline in all three economies is, well, painfully slow at best. While the news from Sydney and Ottawa was unwelcome and surprising for the shorter-term money markets, longer bond yields were adjusting to the notion that rates would stay higher. This chart shows what's happened over the last few months, and it shows that the pauses and skips in Canada and Australia didn't stop long-term yields from rising. In the US, though, the Canadian news plainly came as a bit of a shock. As a result, the Fed Funds futures market projected course shifted upwards again and now assumes the target rate will still be above 5% at the end of the year. But at this point, investors are expecting rates to stay higher for much, much longer. And the 10-year yield, which is a critical building block of the financial economy, of course, took a jump. It appeared for a while that the banking crisis had decisively ended its upward trend, but now the yield is back above its 200-day moving average. And it's worth noting that moves in Canada and Australia show that central banks were holding on to flexibility and reserved the right to surprise the markets. And it's true, I think, that the Fed will follow suit simply because they cannot surprise the market on the downside. They have to stick to their inflation target. Now, next week, of course, there will be the US inflation number. And that could well be down a bit on what we saw last time. But the question is inflation moving down fast enough, or will they have to hike? Well, certainly Fed officials recently have said more likely they will need to hike. But the other crucial question is the health of the banks. Of course, when the regional banking crisis hit, the authorities have been promptly and aggressively, and everybody calmed down a bit, initially because looser money was thought to be on the way. But now we're back, perhaps, to assuming that Fed funds will dig in above 5%. So is it safe to ignore the banks? Well, judging by the yield curve, regional banks aren't out of the woods yet. SVB Financial fell just as the inversion, the gap between the 2 and the 10-year yields, dipped to more than 100 basis points. And it's returned now this week to an 80 basis point inversion. And it's also worth noting that in Australia now we have a 2-10 inversion for the first time, which of course is signalling a recession potentially. An inverted yield curve is a famous recession indicator, as Joe Lavorga of SMBC said. The main reason the yield curve is so good at predicting recessions is because it causes them. It is standard practice that financial intermediaries borrow short and lend or invest long. When the yield curve is deeply inverted, it gums up the money and credit creation processes because there is little financial incentive to make loans or to invest in securities. Consequently, the inverted curve signals tightening credit conditions and looming financial market stress. At very least, I would add. And of course, it's closing in on the point at which SVB failed credit conditions surveyed in recent weeks have shown that banks are becoming more reluctant to lend, particularly in the US. The index of true financial conditions, which combines a number of monetary variables, does look alarming in the US, with conditions barely easier than 3 months ago, and is a level much tighter than even during the credit crisis of 2008. The stock market, though, do seem to think that the banks are damaged goods. Whether looking at valuations or comparing to the rest of the market, the bounce from the March crisis point is, well, minimal at best. And it's true that stock investors are worried about bank profitability more than their default risk. The crisis left their profits seriously challenged, but poor earnings and an inverted yield curve don't go for long term without creating another banking crisis. And if that happens, the prospects for lower rates do improve, but so unfortunately do the chances of a recession. And this is really the point, that we are now getting into the hard yards of the inflation battle, because central banks are now realizing that this inflation genie is out the bottle and is really flowing through specifically into services and into wages. So you can expect more rate rises, but more importantly, interest rates are going to stay higher for a lot longer. Now translate that across to mortgage holders who are, of course, in Australia, beginning to experience the pain of these rising rates. And even allowing for the banks and their ability to tweak their lending standards to try and help people, if rates stay at 4% or thereabouts by the end of next year, that's going to put a huge dent in households. So we are at a very important point in this journey. And I would remind you that I've been saying for some time that ultimately the inflationary forces will turn potentially to deflation and recession. And it looks to me as though the recession probability has now risen substantially in Australia, in Canada, in the US, and of course, New Zealand is already expecting one. So, unfortunately, we are not out of the woods yet by a long chalk. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.